Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Colossians chapter 3, very simple little lesson for you tonight, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let's go, let's have a word of prayer. Bobby, pray for us, and then let's get into this tonight. Amen. Oh, People talk about things they love. They'll say, man, I love chocolate ice cream. And they'll say that. And some of you can amen that right now. You know, we had our praying friend in the wheelchair up here, and he was talking about loving God, and he said, man, I love soccer. Remember that? We have those expressions. You know, some people say, well, I love barbecue or Mexican food or ribeye steaks. You hungry yet? You know, or somebody say, well, I really love, and then it's either rock and roll or country western or whatever kind of music. You wouldn't say that, but people would say that. Or I really love my kids or whatever. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what basically is the affections are set on things down here, not on things above. And if you ask them, well, don't you love God? Oh, yeah, I love God, but these things, I love my car, I love my job. And honestly, there's not a person in here tonight that loves any of those things more than you love God. But the truth of the matter is there are affections to those things. And that's why we use the word, I really love whatever it is. That's why it comes out that way. Now, of all those things that you might say about loving, don't love money, okay? The love of money is the root of all evil. That can produce some really bad fruit in your life, okay? You need it. You got to have some bills, but make sure you don't love that stuff. But the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And the question then comes up, why? Why set your affection on things above? You can't see any of it. You can't feel anything in return. There's no sensuality associated with that kind of love, but there's some reason. And one of the reasons that you want to set your affection on things above is because things below can draw you away from God. They really can. You'll find when you raise your children that you will sometimes, there'll be a competition between your love for God and your love for your children. And it may not be obvious to you, you may not even be conscious of it at the time, but other people observing will be, and you will be later, maybe at a time when it's too late. But I'll tell you, in the Old Testament, Eli honored his sons above God and let them get away with, we don't have to go back and review Eli's case with Hophni and Phinehas, but he let them get away with really wicked sins in their work as priests for the Lord. He just loved them. You know, I think the prodigal son's father loved God more than he loved his children. And that's why he was able to let a boy go when he said, give me my portion and I'm gone. And fortunately for him, the boy came back. They don't always do that. They don't always do that. But you know something? If his heart had gone with that boy, it would have taken away from his love for God. And would have affected the relationship that he had with his wife and with the other boy that stayed. The Bible gives you a commandment. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. With how much of thy heart? You see how that is? God wants it all. All thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, or all thy mind, or all thy strength. You know, when you read it in the New Testament, mind and strength are included. And I've told you before about the fellow that got married and then announced to his wife when they're driving away from the church on their honeymoon, "You'll never be the love of my life." And she was like, "Whoa, why didn't you tell me that a few minutes ago?" And he said, no, the Lord will always be the love of my life. You'll be right behind that. And then she relaxed and said, "You know what? As long as he's the love of your life, I know I will always be loved more than if you had loved me the most." That's good, see? We have more capacity for loving those that we love, like our spouses, our parents, or our children, when we love God. So the first commandment, we are to love God. You know, when we went to Bible college, I was older than most of the guys that were in my class. 35 years old, and 3 kids, and 1 on the way when we got there. And everybody, the 46 guys, or how many ever it was in the class, every one of them called to preach, everyone called by God to go to that school, every one of them called to either pastor or the mission field. They had that, certainly. Well, 12 of us graduated. And I would tell you, honestly, half of those guys that left because their wives didn't like it. And they had to make a choice between loving their wives and loving God. You know, I'll tell you honestly, Tony has the teens, and so there's some of you in here that aren't married. You got to be real careful in the choice of your spouse, because that person may not let you do what God wants you to do in God's will. They'll put their foot down or threaten you, you know, with divorce or something else, if you're going to go on and do what God wants you to do. But let me tell you something. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, there's not a single person in here that doesn't want things to turn out right and work out good together in your life. Well, in order for that to happen, you got to love God and you got to be in His will. And if you've got somebody else you love more than God that's drawing you away from that, or something you love more than God that's drawing you away from that, then at a crucial time in your life, Romans 8:28 may be very hard for you to claim. So the first reason then is because the things below, the things you love below, can actually draw your affection away from God. You really don't want that. Another reason why you want to set your affection on things above rather than on things on the earth is because things below are temporary. You know that? We have a nice building here, and presumably we'll one of these days have a nice building next door, really fix those modules up nice, but I want to tell you something. They are temporary. One of these days, another Celia is going to blow through here and they're going to come down, or there's going to be a fire, or they're going to decay, or we're going to get raptured out of here. Stuff is temporary. Your car is temporary. Your job is temporary. Your life is temporary. For all that, your family is temporary on this side of glory. You'll have them forever when they're saved on the other side of glory. But you know something? These things are temporary. Now, when I walked through our neighborhood, which I did this morning, Zach's not doing well. He's got a tumor growing. He limps, and give him pain med, and then we take a walk, and so he's really walking slow. He used to drag me. You know, people say, "Oh, you're walking your dog?" I said, "No, they're walking me." You know, it's a good thing right now that I can't take too much attention even on the left arm, but we're moseying through the neighborhood these days, and there are 2 houses in our neighborhood that are just, they're honestly 2 of the most beautiful homes I've ever seen. Just really, really great. They are nothing compared to the mansion in heaven. Nothing. At all. We were up at the hospital today, and at Spawn Shoreline, when you're out on the end, on the north side of the hospital, you're overlooking the bay. And I mean, it was a beautiful view. And everybody in the family kind of caught that all at once and went, "Wow, what a beautiful day." And Phyllis said, "Too bad Wally can't sit out here to see this." I said, "Where he's going is going to make this look like a mud puddle." She goes, and she, "Oh yeah, that's right." You know, these things are temporary. And so you got to remember that. Your family is temporary. The assets that you own, whatever that may be that you really enjoy, you know, your sailboat, your fishing boat, whatever it might be, it's temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Or if it's money, it's here today and gone tomorrow, or here today and gone today, or here today and gone yesterday. I mean, for some of it, it's gone last month, you know. Another reason to set your affection on things above and not on the earth is that things below can betray you. Things below can betray you. You can pour your love into your children, and your children can get to an age where they become some of your worst enemies. And now you've got all that love tied up in them, and they hate you for it. And you think, this is a strange set of circumstances. How in the world could they possibly feel that way? I realize it's bizarre, but they can. And if you're feeling that tonight, you're not alone, I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You take a little a young lady and you take a young man, and they fall headlong in love with each other. Can't live without you, sweetheart. And they tie the knot, get married 5 years later. I don't want to see you move to Europe. Living in the United States is too close for me. How can that happen? Well, I'll tell you what, that love down here can betray you. Amen. It really can. So listen, you want to love, obviously, the people that are close to you, but you want to recognize you never want to love them more than you love God. And you want your love for them to actually be the product of your love for God. Because there's time when God has to chasten somebody that's close to you, and you know what you'll do? You will lay out the mattress. God will use the sledgehammer, and you'll lay out the mattress to catch their fall. People say, well, if they just reach the end, they'd probably get over this. They'll never reach the end as long as you keep laying out the bedroll. You're working against God because your love for them is not a product of your love for God. It's a human love that's actually interfering with God's love. You understand that? So most of you in here are old enough to have lived long enough to understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know, the love of God will never betray you. The love of God, if you love Him, is faithful and unchanging, merciful and long-suffering. He can endure anything you can dish out, but I'm going to tell you something. You can always count on Him. There are people in here tonight that have taken a detour and a season away and come back to God and found Him just as much in love with you as He was the day you took your turn. Now, of course, that fills your heart with regret that you ever took that turn, but nonetheless, that love of God is real. He will never betray your love, ever. Ever. So that's why you want to set your affection on things above. I'll tell you something else, and it goes along as a corollary to something we've already said, but the things above are eternal. You want to fall in love with something that'll last. Fall in love with this book. Fall in love with the words in this book. Listen, if you do, you will never be disappointed because He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. You know why a lot of people don't read the Bible any more than they do? They don't love it. You say, well, how can I fall in love with the words of a book? Same way you would if you were courting a young lady or courting a young man. Spend some time in there. You'd be amazed. People say, well, I sure wish I could know. Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Rather than sit there and try to figure out how much Bible you can know, why don't you figure out how much Bible you can love? Because it's not going to change. This morning I woke up, and I was troubled about something. I woke up real early and troubled about something. I sat down, I was reading my Bible in another place and praying about the situation that was troubling me. And the Lord directed me to a verse of Scripture. He reminded me where it was. I turned right to it, read it. You know, you got to read every... He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I needed to read every word because paraphrasing it or whatever, I was missing some key words in there. I looked at that, and therein was the answer to the thing that was troubling me. And when I looked at that, I realized the source of the trouble and the solution of the thing and settled it right there and walked in the light of that verse, solved the problem immediately. And it hasn't been troubling me the rest of the day. So why is it? That's the book. So fall in love with the words of this book. They're going to be here forever. Fall in love with the God of this book. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You know something? I've never found it hard to do something for somebody that I love. Doesn't make any difference how high the task. You're delighted to have the opportunity because you love them. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. People say, if I keep his commandments, I might end up showing that I love him. That is a real backwards way to get into this thing, okay? Set your affection on things above. Love God. Love heaven. You know, aren't there some beautiful sights on earth? Any place here that you'd ever like to go on earth and see? Randy kept talking about Big Ben, Big Ben, Big Ben. So we all packed up, took kids, went over Big Ben. And let me tell you something. That was a beautiful place to see. But that is the result of a volcanic explosion and dry as cracker juice, somebody said, you know. I mean, man, imagine what it's going to be like in heaven. Boy, set your affection on that. So why to set your affection on things above? Because if you've been investing anything in it, your treasure is above. Do you realize most of you in here give to missions? Well, you give to missions when you give to this church anyway. I mean, any month we can't pay the missionaries out of what we have in the missions account. We put it in there out of the general fund, and we've always given more out of the general fund to missions, you know, than what was given to missions. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to see souls up there running around celebrating, glad to be saved, that came from Africa and got saved through the ministry of a church you helped build over there and a missionary you helped support. You've never even seen them. Don't even know what they look like. They're going to come run up, hug your neck, and you're like, what's that? And get your affection on that. Seriously. You got some souls on the other side. You know anybody in heaven right now that passed away? Oh, yeah. And it's sure going to be good to see him, isn't it? Sure going to be good to see him. I witnessed to my father a lot the last couple of years of his life, and he kept saying to me, well, I was born Catholic, I'm going to die Catholic. Salvation is not a religious thing anyway, right? So, in my heart, I just said, oh, that's fine with me, you know, go where you want to go and end up where you want to end up. About 3 weeks before he passed away, I took a preacher to see him, and he was one of several that had gone, and this preacher was also in World War II. This preacher was also, acquainted with kind of things my dad did. My dad was a bombardier in the Army Air Corps. They sat down, they talked about that a little bit, and then the preacher said to my dad, he said, your son and I are concerned for your soul. Well, my dad believed in the sin of presumption. You may or may not be familiar with it, but in the Catholic Church, the sin of presumption is if you tell somebody that you know you're going to heaven, you're not going to go there. They have all the angles, man. They're going to get you in purgatory and get your money and your family's money. Get all the angles. He said, your son and I are concerned for your soul. And my dad looked at him and then turned and looked at me and smiled. He said, my son and I believe a lot more alike than he knows. And I knew what that meant. I knew what that meant. He'd gone through this whole thing. And on Sunday, my dad died on Wednesday. On Sunday, a renegade priest came to preach because my dad's parish priest was on sabbatical. And that guy got up, and I'll tell you, with a Bible, preached the gospel. My mother was just blown away. She said, that guy sounds just like Bevins. So my mother ran up there right after the service and told that fellow, says, what are you doing for lunch? I guess I'm going to lunch with you. What are you doing this afternoon? Well, I got to be back here at 5:30 to save mass. Well, you're coming to our house. He said, that's fine with me. I didn't have any plans. And, you know, he witnessed to them the entire time. I heard about that 5 minutes after I got home, the night my father died, my mother said, sit down, I want to tell you a story. And she told me what I've just told you with some more stuff. So I made an appointment to go visit the guy. He greeted me at the door with a Stetson and a cowboy belt buckle with his black pants, black deal, and collar on. I said, and boots. I said, this is not like any. I said, I want you to tell me what you told my father. And he told me. I said, it's just as good as the gospel I preach. He said, well, of course. So I asked him one question. I said, I kept pressing him. And he said, I know what you're doing here. You want to know where your father is. I said, that's right. He said, son, there is not a doubt in my mind. Your father is in glory today. Now, Catholic priests don't talk like that. But he did. I'm looking forward to seeing my dad. You got loved ones on the other side? That's the place to put your affection. Their race is done. You know how it turned out. You're going to be together again. That's where to set your affection. And then one other thing. Set your affection on things above rather than on things on the earth. And here's the reason why. Because the love from above is greater than the sensual love from below. We've got this thing confused. And boy, the more your face is stuck in the internet and in the television and everything else and in books, the more you get the idea that true love is something that has a whole lot of feeling and touchy, kissy face involved in it. Okay? What do they call it? Kissy face and huggy body? And somehow or another, that's supposed to be real love. Well, I'm with you. That's good. To hold hands and all that other stuff that goes along with the sensual love that we have down below. That's good. I like that. But you know, there is a love that transcends that, that you will never experience as long as you've got to have a sensual love. Once you experience a love from heaven above that is superior to the love that we can manifest as human beings, you'll never get it, but once you get a taste of that, then you say, you know what? Loving God is better. It's better. Do you believe that? He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Most people don't stick around in their relationship to the Lord to fall in love with Him to that degree. But people like Paul who did say, I can get along without sensual love and sensual pleasure. You know what it does? It'll actually give you a stronger ability to fight against sin in your life because you won't be stuck in the physical. You'll actually be enjoying the spiritual, and it's better. Amen? So set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, and you'll fulfill Colossians 3:2. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful tonight to encouraged about loving you. You know what I ask you to do for us tonight, Father, is very simple. I pray that you'll allow each of us that's here tonight to experience that spiritual love so that we'll know that that love is greater than the sensual love. That will teach us to also appreciate that wisdom that comes from above and those answers to prayer that come from above far more than the physical pleasures of life. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, Come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.